So I was driving back from the coast. No, actually, I was vacuuming my car. And I reckon when you vacuum your car, because I had to get all the sand out, you vacuum your car, it's like a forensic. You do a forensic on your own life, because as you go through the car, you remember all the things. Oh, there's a McDonald's bag there. Oh, there's one of the...
All the sand. You go, that's the time I went down the beach. I find goggles. I've got these goggles I wear in the surf, which the kids call champ goggles, because I think I look like a bit of a champ, which is not a compliment at all.
No, I wear them. Yeah. No, I'm also wearing a... Because I'm into the long distance open water swimming now. I've got the... have I told you about my floaty pants? It's because floaty pants. It's a wetsuit you buy that has extra flotation, which makes your ass come up higher. So when you do your long distance swimming, like I do, you're playing through the water much better. But anyway, that's by the by. Why did I bring that up? Because I'm a legend.
But how does that look like on the beach? You look like a bubble butt, kind of.
Well, you can't really see like it, it doesn't look like a bubble butt. But yeah, you have to point it out to your friends to make sure they see that what you're wearing is, you know, very it's not embarrassing. It's actually pretty cool. Anytime you've got a bit of equipment that fits perfectly for what you're doing, because we all do it. My brothers do it. And there's a group of people do it down there, and we gather around and you talk. You know, talk caps. You talk watches.
You're very dangerous getting to the iceberg level, aren't you? You're going to be down there with Brooksy at the Brighton Yacht Club tomorrow. Jumping in at 4 in the morning, freezing cold.
It's not so hard this time of year, but as you head into the winter, I can last about 2 minutes in the water, and these guys go out for about half an hour out into the deep ocean. But the ocean is warmer than out a bit than it is around the edges. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. But so you head out. Anyway, by the by.
Just ask, how long does your swim go for when you do it?
I normally go for about half an hour. How far do I go? Ask me.
How far do you go?
1K, 1.5K, whatever.
Not bad. You can do pier to pub.
But the good guys do like 2.5. They swim all the way to the other beach and back again. Oh, they swim in a big triangle. I just sort of go up the beach and down the beach because I get a bit scared.
Heroes, mate. You know what everyone can be. But
you
a hero,
do. You walk they? Back out. You know, you stand a bit taller, puff your chest out. Me, swim. Couple of K, no problem at all. Except I went the other day. I felt a bit too confident and went right up the beach and then right back again. I thought, this is so easy. And then the next day, didn't feel good. Body ached, exhausted, overdid it. You got to drink plenty of water. Anyway, so didn't want to talk about that, but I did. Vacuuming the car, you're fine. I found a bit of capsicum. I'm going, capsicum?
Oh.
What's going on there? And then I remembered, because when you buy a sandwich, I buy the sandwich and I don't necessarily have it straight away. I set it up to find a straight bit of road where I can, it's illegal, steer with my knee and eat the sandwich. Now, up front, you've got to say sandwich, not good food for foods that on the list of foods that are good for eating while driving. I think you are allowed, I mean, you can't use a phone, but you're allowed to have your left hand spare for putting food in your face, aren't you? Is there a law about that? You can't.
Yeah, there is a law about it, and you're not allowed to eat. But that's all right. A lot of people do. But you're right. What's a good thing? Like a Chico roll.
A Chico roll's good.
Something that you can just have in that one hand. Souvlaki, it's too messy. So a sandwich is too messy. It's hard.
Well, this is what happened. It exploded. Its ass fell out. Right into my lap, and I've got the Audi, it's got this special seat, the special leather, and it's got this little thing you can pull out which extends the seat forward. So it gives me more support for my legs for my driving on the autobahn at high speeds. So I've got anyway, but when you push it back, it just collects all the food that you've eaten over the past few weeks. So when you open it, it's like opening up a tray of your eating history. I go, there's a bit of Macca's there. Sure. There's an old chip there. There's a bit of lettuce there. A bit of cheese over there. Oh, and it's very satisfying to hit it with the vacuum because it just goes shock, 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 shock. You go, oh, so cleaned up.
But also surely with an Audi, the heated seat. So you'd be driving along thinking, smells someone doing a stir fry.
Well, That's not a bad idea. You throw a bit of meat in there, a few old veggies from the, you know, and you come up with a combination that you didn't know existed, you know, bit of China, bit of rice in there. And then, you know, I don't know, bit of fruit, bit of mango, I don't know. It got me to thinking about things that explode in your life and you know, things that, like, for example, the classic for me is the sauce bottle that when the bit around the top gets dried. You know, the squirty sauce bottle. I'm not talking about the glass sauce bottle that you had to hit with the back of your hand and nearly break your hand or break the bottle.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the squirty bottle and then the top's dried off a bit and you squeeze and it's not going, you're going, I'm not going to be beaten by this. And then it comes out and it goes, thwack! It bangs onto the plate, spatters everywhere. If you're doing a pie or something, the people around you, you do have to watch out because it can be very dangerous.
Yeah, things that explode, you're right. Well, there's a lot of sauces, condiments, that kind of stuff.
What about those little sauces in that little – it's like a little duo pack and you pull them together and they squirt out. Those ones they give you at the footy.
And they
– you go – if you're too hasty, bang, it's a weapon. It's absolutely –
It's dangerous.
Now –
especially with kids, they don't know how to work it. They squirt. Yeah, I said, point it at the past. Point it at the past to you, the pie, not at me. It's like, whoosh.
Too hasty. And what about, now you would know about this, what about a Coca-Cola that's been in the car for a while? Or rolled around the boot?
Yeah, rolled around. We were down in Geelong. I was doing a gig there at a Mexican restaurant. Whatever. I do all the big ones. And, of course, the kids are like, we've got to get some food from there. So we got some food, and then we went and sat in the park. And we got some of those Mexican soft drinks. They're very tasty. They're just like different pineapple flavored, lime flavored, mango. They're just like a soft drink. But they had the top you had to get with a bottle opener, you know, not a screw top. And so So the kids are trying to do it with their hands. I'm like, no. Because I know the next step, one of them will put it in their mouth, which is a bad. Yep. You know, because we all had mates that could do it, but I was never one of those guys. And so there was a lamppost with like little metal grids, and I went and stuck it in that, and bang! But it still went everywhere. It went all over my clothes.
I did a stupid thing with a grandchild the other day. We had a little ball of. We wanted to get some. We go to the mango tree to get a mango, and there's no mangoes at the moment. So I put a bit of chocolate in my pocket, and I reached up into the mango tree and pulled out a little chocolate ball. So,
good on your granddad.
And then we took it back. And of course, little chocolate balls, they're perfect for a little bit of sleight of hand. So I did that. There's the ball in my hand, goes there. Oh, where's it gone? And then I reach down and I pull it out of his belly button. And look, I'm a legend, you know. Tip the waitresses, I'm here,
mate,
all night. I'm here all week, you know.
You're better than Humphrey B. Bear. Yeah.
But then, and then I did one where he stuck it up his, I pulled it out of his nose, I pulled it out of his, you got to watch out because then he gets a sultana or something and he tries to stick it into his belly button, he tries to stick it up his nose or stick it in his ear. I'm sure it was an irresponsible thing to do, so I won't be doing those tricks anymore.
Yeah, he'll go back to his mum and dad and they go, where did you learn that from? Oh, bloody clan.
And I reckon the ultimate explosion is the bean bag. Don't you reckon when the kids...
The worst. Yeah, the bean bag. We've got one here, and when it explodes, it's terrible. And it goes everywhere.
It goes everywhere.
And you're picking up that stuff.
And it seems to float. It just floats. Oh. It's weightless, and it gets in and under, and it's horrible.
More recent one is when they send those boxes, Kira gets a lot of stuff delivered. And they had those little polystyrene things in them.
Yeah.
And I was vacuuming the other day. I kept finding them under the couch. Terrible.
Anyway.
Exploding stuff. Well, you know, give us a call. 132410. When have...
Think what's exploded in your life. And we've got Tony from North.
Oh, man. Yeah, mate.
I exploded in my pants the other day. Thanks, mate. Yeah. We'll just keep it clean, shall we? Yeah.
Why isn't the producer screening the calls? It's a good topic. Anyway, here comes the music. Oh, God.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related Now. Please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, I tell you, if you were on commercial radio, you'd definitely be
what
doing
explodes,
that, for sure.
I mean, pies eat the wrong way. Pies don't really explode. They
No, Souvlaki's, because the bag sometimes breaks with all the moisture from the sauce.
What does a sausage cooked too quickly?
Yes.
They come out the end. Do you prick your sausages?
No, you're not meant to. But they often break anyway when I'm cooking them. So
yeah.
Now, Andrew the butcher, this butcher told me once you don't prick them. You don't prick the sausages. You're not meant to.
Really?
So it's just an Aussie thing.
Well, still, it comes out the end for me. Still, it looks like, I don't know. It does look, I don't know.
Bang.
Yeah, a little inappropriate. Now, last.
Now, I've got to apologize. Yeah, about my sound last week. It sounded like, as Jason Kelly, regular listener, said on Facebook, sounded like I was trapped down a mine.
Yeah, did. Well, we don't want to say, as I said a couple of weeks ago, you were in jail, and I think that is evidence of the way you sounded. Yes. They had the microphone in front of the bars.
I was in solitary and confinement.
3 days in the box.
I was down the beach, and I think just the quality of the recorder that I'm using, but hopefully it'll be better this week.
We can't tell.
We can't tell
until it goes to air.
We're still in separate places, but we'll get back together soon. Just worried about COVID. Yeah. It's still going on. But because of that and the recorder, we missed out on the... Because we're talking to your brother, Phil,
yes.
Who I've since had another conversation with about the washing machine.
Have you decided on one? Did you take my advice?
We're going to either get a Miele or a Bosch.
Oh, Bosch. Oh, they're good too. Yeah.
Yeah, but Phil's very anti-Bosch because he doesn't like working on them.
Okay. Well, I went for the Fisher Paykel, and I got to say, I am extremely. I would say I love it as much as I love my Miele. So, and it is a love affair when those knobs work, when the interface works, when it just the washing machine says to you, "You go off and enjoy yourself. I'll take care of this." And it just you go, "Well, when will I come back? Here's the countdown timer. Come back in about 45 minutes. Beautifully spun, ready to go. Hang on the line. And that's what you want.
Yeah."
But what made you go to the Bosch?
Oh, it's true. Oh, I don't know. Well, Kieran's just doing the research on the internet, so I don't know. But because of the recording last week, we didn't get the bloody Stabby the Butcher story was cut out.
Is it Stabby or Stabby?
It's Stabby.
Stabby the Butcher, like, who is in Anglesey. Or was. Or still is.
Yeah.
I think he still is.
No, he still is. And I said to Phil, because, you know, he lives in the area, "Hey, what's the story with Stabby the Butcher?" Because me and the kids, we always laugh as we drive past, saying that's a funny name for a butcher.
What, Stabby?
Stabby. You go Stabby some lambs out the back. And he said, my dad,
Uncle Arthur. The real Uncle Arthur.
And his name was Arthur. He used to love to say the same thing every time he'd go into Stabby when they're all tourists standing around inside the shop. And he'd walk in and he'd go, "G'day, Stabby." And Stabby would go, "G'day, Arthur." He goes, "Can I get some sausages?" Stabby goes, "No worries, Arthur." And then your dad would say, "But none of that shit you give to the tourists, mate."
And didn't get a great response from the tourists. They sort of glanced at each other, wondering what the shit they'd been eating down at the caravan park. And
I just hope that your dad had done it at least 100 times to Stabby.
Yeah, no, he spoke to everyone. Everybody knew him as he went around his little trolley.
Funny.
Anyway, so good on you. Rest in peace, Uncle Arthur Robbins.
Arthur.
Yeah, he's a good man. So,
all right,
topics.
Let's get the topics in.
Two topics. And how are they related?
I think Sam left them out last week and then I put back in. You notice that?
I think what happened was Sam was more concerned about getting across
the swearing
involved, and we apologise if you did listen last week with kids, but we couldn't really avoid it. We don't. But she got a little hasty and she said, "Look out for the bad language," and then forgot to say the topics. But we heard the topics, but you didn't. So if it was a bit confusing, we apologise.
Yeah. You actually said them about 20 seconds after Sam didn't, so we heard them.
Oh, so it made sense, which was good.
Anyway, Sam will be on a game this week. So what are the topics, Sam?
Gliders and seat belts.
Wow. Okay. Jeez, well, seat belts are interesting because they come up a lot now, don't they? Because of vaccines, and people always say, you know, when people say we're protesting against the vaccines, people always say, Oh, yeah, there were people that protested against the seatbelts back in the day, which was true, actually. I looked it up.
Yeah, what was the reason for that? If you went into water or you wanted to get out of the car quickly because it was on fire or something, is that why?
No, I think it's a bit like the vaccines, that people don't like being told to do. So, yeah, in America, people were cutting them out of the cars.
Really?
Which, as we know, America's the home of the, you don't tell me what to do. You know, you got no idea. One of the neighbors just came back from America. How's this? Their kid's going to university over there. Got a soccer scholarship.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, another girl. One of those. Yeah,
amazing. It's amazing. She went to the government's, the local high. Well, she didn't go to local high school. She went to one of those sports high schools that specialized in sport. But anyway, they went to America. They didn't get COVID, but all the kids got COVID over there, and she. They were telling that the Americans just like, yeah, nah, no one's wearing a mask. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, they said in California people wear masks, but apart from that, New York they wear masks, but other states are just like, nah, no way, man. Mm. So they have that kind of, you can't tell me what to do.
Well, I remember there was, thing. I think it was around the 70s, wasn't it? I think Victoria led the race on that, where they were the first, they were the first to make it compulsory that you had. I can't remember whether it was just a lap one or it was a full three-pointer, because there's the three-pointer, which is over the shoulder, then down to your right hip, and then down to your left hip if you're driving.
But we remember the lap ones.
Well, I remember nothing. Then I remember seeing a sports car and going, oh, that's really fancy. It's got a lap safety belt. Going, oh, that's because it's convertible. And if you didn't have a seatbelt on, you'd fly out of the car, you know.
You're right. Victoria was the first place in the world.
In the world? Was it in the world?
Yeah, in the world. 1971, I think it was. Yeah, it was amazing. Victoria led the way. Yeah. Not New South Wales.
And do you reckon there's still a number of people who don't put on? I reckon there are. There's still not.
No.
You reckon it's pretty good? Well, cars talk to you now, don't they?
Well, that's right. We should, for our thinking music, there's a comic called Steve Hughes. Steve Hughes, he was an Australian, lived in England. Very, very, very funny man. And he does a routine about the ding, ding, ding. He talks about how they're still telling us to put the seatbelts on, but didn't the ding, ding, ding solve that?
Yeah,
you know, ding, ding, where you don't put it on, you get the ding, ding. He goes, who's driving down the road with the ding, ding going? And it's true. Yeah, there's different types. My one goes into a different, it starts off ding, ding, and then it gets a bit more frantic after a few, ding, 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 come on, put it on.
What's going on? I mean, I can give you a couple of minutes, but no, you got to get it on now.
Oh, I feel weird. I feel naked without a seatbelt on. You know, occasionally when you go
that's true. Yeah.
Somewhere, like on a bus. They often don't have seatbelts on buses.
I don't get it. Why haven't, but what's the deal? What's the deal with that? I mean, some of the big ones, the plush ones, they go back out, and I go, I'm putting it on. Because all I know is, if you hit something, I'm flying over the top of that bloke in front of me.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen. I'm going with the seatbelt. And I think you'll get on there, it'll be with a group of people who've had a few drinks or whatever, and you feel like an old person putting on their seatbelt before they move off. But so what, it went lap, didn't it? Lap first, and then what do they call the over? They think they call that a three-pointer.
3-point.
And then there's up from that, there's the, of course, because I was in the Celebrity Grand Prix, I had the full racing harness, which is the over both shoulders and really tight and snaps in, and then, it's really good.
Well, I don't know if it was you or was one of my kids pointed out on the plane, how come the hostie and the air steward sit down and they've got better seatbelts than us?
Yes,
the
they plane. Have.
Have they've you noticed
got,
that?
Yeah, they've got the 3-pointers, haven't they? You go, what's going on? And I mean, I know it's been pointed out in stand-up before, but they do show you every time how to, I mean, who hasn't been around for the past, I don't know, 40 years, and know that you pull the latch.
How to put a seatbelt in.
It's gone from, having said that, it's gone from latch to button, hasn't it?
On the plane?
No, meaning that on the plane they've still got the old school latch, whereas in cars, it's a button. When you're putting your mum or your dad in the back seat, oh, God, you always put it upside down, or you can't get it to go, I can't get it to go click, or, you know, it's that thing. It can be quite awkward having to put people in. Or kids in chair God.
And with little kids, it's a nightmare with the there's always like you can go to one of those joints where the guy fits the car seat. You're a stepdaughter would have been through this whole process at the moment, getting the car seat for the kids in the car. Yep. And you try and do it yourself, and then, but then you just go to this guy who's an expert who goes click, 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 and
you're pull the strap there, boom, in, locked in. Yeah. And then when they first came out, and am I right in saying this, they first came out, they used to just hang loose, didn't they? And then there was the retracting. It was very spectacular.
Oh, man. When you got in a car with retracting seatbelts. But also, I don't know if this happened to you. If you've got an old car, sometimes you park on a hill and you pull it and it won't come out. You got to roll down the hill.
I know. And you're going, crack, crack. Come on. And you go, I go.
Come on. I'll go slow this time.
Nah, letting you pull it out. Nah. Yeah.
And, of course, it's all plastic these days. But back in our day, it was metal. And do you remember on a hot day you get in the Holden the Ford, put it on, would burn into your skin?
Yeah. Yeah, if you had bathers on coming back from the beach. Yeah, the hot latch. Nothing worse than, you know, hitting the...
I remember Rosso from American Rosso did a routine about how you get the Holden symbol like a brand on your stomach, you know, all that, because it would just burn into your skin.
But the strap that they make the seatbelt from, they must have got it right the first time, because it's basically the same now, isn't it? It has some sort of changed. In all those years, it must be some super duper. Is there any give in it, or what? What is the deal?
No, it's like a vine. It's a vinyl kind of thing, isn't it? Like a material. I don't know what material it is, but it's incredible. I mean, seatbelts just save lives by keeping you strapped to the seat, don't they?
Yeah,
and
we've got within the Audi. Okay, get over it. Our Audi, which has a very reassuring thing, you pull it down, you click it in, and then it does this little automatic tighten thing. Where it just goes, zzz,
that's good.
Pulls you back and goes, the seatbelt, the car is basically saying, I gotcha, no problem at all.
Man.
Just goes, zzz, and you go, that feels nice. I feel nice and snug now.
It's cool. No, it's always reassuring when you get on a roller coaster and they put us, or the Dodgem car seatbelt is very dodgy.
The dodgy Dodgem car.
Well, that's like when you get on a motorbike or a bicycle, you're like, no seatbelt. Yeah. It feels really weird. Really
so
weird.
There's nothing on a motorbike, is there? There's nothing. Well, you wouldn't want to, which I think you'd want to come off, really, would you?
You'd probably want to come off. I don't know. I'm not a motorbike rider. All right, well, gliders. I mean, I don't know much about gliders. I was watching a movie on Netflix the other day about the when the Allies had to win Holland from the Nazis in World War II, and they thought they had it, but they didn't have it because the Nazis sort of invaded again in the late in the war kind of thing. And so what they did, they sent gliders in. For some reason, they used gliders to land their troops in Holland.
So there must be big gliders. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, they were big. They were towed by planes, and then they let them go, and then they would land with several troops and stuff. I assume maybe because they can't be reused, or they didn't want to use parachutes. I don't know. I've got to look it up. Why do they use gliders?
Well, obviously, because they're silent.
Yeah. Is that, that,
it would have to be because, everyone's going to hear a plane coming, so therefore they know that. So if you come in under cover of silence during the night.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were sort of small groups of soldiers in this movie. Maybe it was fictional. I looked it up, though.
I've been gliding.
You've been in a glider? Yeah. Where? Up in you see them up near in Victoria near
Wangaratta. Yeah, yeah, sort of central Victoria because apparently maybe it's a bit more, the weather's a bit more stable. But it was a birthday present, and my mates took me up there and put me in, and I think they strapped me. It was just the two of you, massive wingspan. Then you're dragged along the ground. You go along the ground, and then suddenly you go up, and you're still behind the plane, and you're looking. Ooh. And at that point I vomited, but that's okay. That's normal. He did point out that, I mean, there's just the two of you and there is a vomit bag because I could imagine because you go up and that feels like a normal plane because you're hearing an engine, you're going up, all the normal stuff, birds are going past, see a couple of UFOs. And then what's interesting is when they cut you loose. Then you just hear that was me breaking wind because I was sorry, that's such a dad joke. It's a silence, absolute silence, and all you hear is the wind over the wings, and you fly like a bird. And of course, I mean, what is it? It's using an updraft, isn't it? It's where the It's right. It's rising air.
They just look so peaceful, and but is it scary?
Well, I imagine it could be scary. I certainly didn't find it scary because you're going well. Because with a plane, it's got that heavy engine, and you know. But with a glider,
in a plane, like in a lounge room, you know what I mean. You got the movies, you got the food, you got the people.
But
walking
the very
around,
way the very way you're going to get down in a glider is the very way you. If something goes, unless the wings fall off, you're going to do what you would do, which is glide back down. That's the worst.
They say that, yeah. Planes do glide.
They can glide. But you're in a glider that's designed to glide. So therefore, the worst that could happen is, I don't know. I suppose the worst that could happen is the pilot died and I had to do it myself.
Oh.
That would be the worst because I mean, unless you're, struck by lightning, hit a bird, anything else, you know.
You don't see many glider accidents on the news. You do see experimental
light aircraft within those little biplane things. They you know, flip or.
Well, John Denver. That's how he died.
How did he die?
He was an experimental light craft.
Oh, really?
That's how he died.
I thought it was commercial.
No, because I read a great article about jetpacks the other day. And by a guy, David Eggers, who's a sort of a famous writer. I just read one of his books. And he wrote The Every and the... anyway, he's written a few books. He's an American guy. He's written some great books. And he wrote this article in The Guardian magazine, and which I've subscribed to. It's sort of like Time magazine, but it's good. And it was fascinating because he goes and gets a jetpack lesson. And he's obsessed by flight. So he goes on all those sort of small ultra, you know, whatevers. And it's the guy always would play John Denver's, what's that, Mountain
Rocky
High?
Mountain
what's that
High, song? El Dorado.
Yeah. When they'd fly, and he said they were doing it. Yeah, he said they're doing it in California. Like, he goes, we were just near where John Denver died in a plane crash. But he said it was an experimental light plane or something. That's what he said.
Yeah. Did he hit a Rocky Mountain High in El Dorado? Sorry.
Country road, take me home.
Please. John Denver was very big when I was in year 12. And him and Paul Williams. Remember Paul Williams?
Yeah.
They were very big. We went into the heavy rock.
How daggy.
All right.
That's why you're kind of into soft rock.
Yeah,
in
soft
country.
Rock. God, you're right.
See, I'm a bit younger than you, so we had the year 12 room with the record player. And we had a record player, and we would put on, like, you know, Madness and
Scar and stuff. You'd be jumping up and down on the spot, yeah.
Oh, we loved it. We went playing Country Road. Then again, I remember some of the girls.
Jim Croce. We used to play a lot of Jim Croce as well.
Oh, Jesus. What about some of the girls played Neil Young?
Oh, Neil Young. They liked Neil Young. That was very big in my time. Look at my love. I'm not going to sing it. Oh, I just did. I'm a love like you were. He's still great.
He's still great.
You know.
He just pulled all his music off Spotify because of he's offended by our podcast. So he pulled it off.
Oh, really? Understandably.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I think it was Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan did what?
No, well, Joe Rogan's a podcaster who's massive with young men. So every young guy I ever meet who's like, you do your podcast, do you? I'm like, yeah. And I just know what they're going to say next. I listen to Joe Rogan. Anyway, but Joe Rogan, I mean, he puts out a bit of anti-vaccine stuff, and that's why. Oh. Neil Young had polio as a child.
So you're saying you can't play.
Pro-vaccine.
It's interesting.
But, yeah, I know. So anyway.
So gliding, used in the war, mainly now for recreation, I would imagine. I mean, you know... I think they can stay up there for like 8 hours if they get the. Oh, I think it's really? Using rising air. It's the lift to drag ratio. So if the drag ratio, I think the guy explained it to me. The drag ratio compared to the lift ratio is higher, then you will stay up there. But that's what happens. You just go down and down and down, and then you get an updraft, and away you go again. It's like a never ending ride.
This is a dumb question. Yeah, go on. You did
a 360. I'm pretty sure we did a 360. I'm pretty sure we did.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You
spun around.
I can't remember whether because I went in a Tiger Moth as well. We did a 360 in the Tiger Moth, and I can't remember. I'm getting my gliders mixed up with my Tiger Moths.
Going with the Red Baron.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a legend.
Snoopy used to do that. Now, stupid question, but you always have to be pulled by a plane. You can't be pulled by a truck or just go pushed off a cliff with a glider.
I think I reckon if you went on YouTube, you'd probably find different methods, like a slingshot scenario that would probably work as well. Yeah, it's probably a car scenario, I mean, I would imagine that the most conventional way would be the aeroplane, obviously.
I mean, it's an expensive hobby, isn't it, when you think about it?
It's a rich man's hobby. I mean, with a surfboard, you put it on the roof, you know. What do you do with your – I guess you've got to put your plane back in the shed and, you know.
Yeah, you've got to get a pilot to fly the plane to tow you.
I'm not taking you up again. This is the third time today, Tony. Oh, yeah, but I've got a couple of people who want to pay for it. Yeah, I mean, really.
It is an expensive hobby. I mean, you know, yeah, like you say, buy a Greyhound, that's 50 bucks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but –
A glider would be worth, surely to buy a glider is like 10 grand at least.
Well, you would wonder why you would not go into hang gliding, because that's a bit easier. I think you can pack that up and get in your little thing and just go forever along the cliffs.
You would see them down the beach. I see them down the beach at Fairhaven and stuff, hang gliding. But
we were playing beach cricket one day, and then we're just playing, and we see this hang glider just coming, and he just lands right in the middle of our pitch. And he goes, oh, I picked you out from a couple of miles ago. I'm going, well, good for you. Do you realise, you know, we're about to tick over 100 here? I'm going for the ton. And you land your hang glider in the middle of the bloody pitch. Beach cricket pitch.
I just remember reading an obituary of a father, and, you know, he was well-loved and he had kids and he died in a hang gliding accident.
Yeah.
I think it's irresponsible. Yeah,
hang gliding is incredible. But it's not something I'd ever do. I don't think. I don't know whether you can do it as a duo. Can you? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can. You can. All right. Well, let's have some thinking music. We'll try and find Steve Hughes's routine about seatbelts. The ding ding.
I'd like to hear that. I've not heard it before.
Yeah, it's very funny. He's a very funny man. Let's have a listen.
And they're just ruthless here. You understand the road rules here? They're just ruthless. Those big signs on the motorways, you know, we're targeting you. Targeting you for speeding. We're targeting you for drink driving. We're targeting tired drivers. What? Tired drivers? That's everyone coming home from work. How do the cops get home from work? They must be exhausted. 12-hour shifts, all that shit hanging off them. Oh, I'm going home, John. Not in that thing, you're not. Start jogging. You know my favourite one? Targeting seatbelt use. Why? Who's driving around in a modern day car not wearing a seatbelt? Who's just driving around ding 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 ding. You understand? We fix the seatbelt problem with the ding-ding. That's what ding-ding's for. Didn't we? The whole world's got ding-ding now. They had a meeting, they're not wearing their seatbelts. Give them ding-ding, that'll fuck with them. Give it to Australia, we give you ding-ding. Is that enough? Nah, we're gonna target them. What are you targeting us for, mate? You don't have to target us, just hear us coming. Look, there he is. Ding, 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 ding. Got him.
Oh, yeah. He's back in... I talked to him on Facebook occasionally. He's back in London. He came back here for a while, but he's a great comic.
Yeah, well, and if you're working over there regularly, you are the real deal. I mean, I'm not saying all our comedians here aren't the real deal. We've got some real deal ones. But it's just the crowds are tough, aren't they, in the UK?
It's like New York. You can do 3 or 4 gigs a night. So you get very sharp.
I talked to Kitty Flanagan about it, and that's really where she honed her craft, as far as just being able to work in tough rooms.
Same as Hannah Gadsby.
Did she?
Yeah, she was there for a while and just said it was so...
I saw she broke her leg.
I know.
I don't think she's a regular listener, but I mean, she's doing okay. I mean, you could trade stories with her, given you've got 18 plates and 14 screws in your leg, haven't you?
I know. Well, that's true. I broke my leg. And a memory on Facebook came up of me and her in Perth. We were in Perth together 10 years ago doing our own shows in the same room. So we hung out a bit. So I often wonder how she's going, because I haven't seen her for such a long time.
I saw her And then I got on really well with her. I think did somewhere down in Tasmania or something. Oh, I don't know. And no, was it your room? I met her actually at your
She used to do the Grandview.
Then pop, yeah. She just went. She was about to give up. She was about to retire.
Yes.
And the comedy gods went, no, we're stepping in here, and we're going to give you a mate. It's one of the biggest successes in Netflix stand-up, I would imagine. And it was so well received.
Yeah, she's became a worldwide phenomenon. Yeah, that's funny because when I did hang out with her in Perth and that, I met a brother who worked in the mines and stuff. And then I saw him in Tasmania about 2 years ago at a gig, and he's a lovely guy. And he said, oh, how about Hannah? I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. And he goes, hey, maybe you should announce you're retiring and see what happens. Yeah. Yeah, but Glenn, it doesn't always work like that, as we know.
Yeah.
Dave O'Neill's retiring. All right, see ya. Good luck.
And, of course, Farnham used to say that. And, of course, our thoughts go out to Glenn Wheatley's family, who...
terrible. COVID.
He was,
A bass player. Yeah. He was a bass player.
And he was a very sweet man, and I got on very well with him. I didn't know him super well.
You met him in prison.
Yeah, there's some things there with tax that we don't talk about that we shared some time.
You were both tax fraud.
But he did his time, and paid his time. But yeah, our thoughts go out because. He came on the scene at the end of my street because I used to live in the same street as his wife, Gaynor Martin. Is that her name?
Really?
Yeah, she used to live at my...
Yeah, Gaynor Wheatley.
She used to live at the end of my street. And then we heard about this guy called Glenn Wheatley because they were quite young when they'd been together a hell of a long time because he started dating her when she was very young. But our thoughts, Glenn Wheatley.
Glenn Wheatley. He was a great bass player and a great manager, but really, to go to jail for tax fraud, I mean, if you're not, I mean, I understand if you go to jail when you take all money from a company and you bankrupt people.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? That's really bad when you're bankrupting average people and they lose all their money and, go to jail for that. But to go to jail for tax fraud, I just reckon pay him back.
Well,
that's pretty full on.
Give him an opportunity to pay it back. A few of my friends have been through that, but he did do some time. But he did a lot of it at home, didn't he? With a bracelet on. He moved to Sydney. Oh, and anyway.
Okay. Well, let's have a crack at the answer.
I'll go first. This is really interesting. I reckon that they used to pull up gliders with rope, and then they developed this really strong. Material that could actually pull a plane up, put on the back of a plane. So the thing that they pull gliders up with is the same material that they use in seatbelts. I reckon I've nailed it.
Oh. I've nailed it. That could be right. I reckon seatbelts were invented around the same time as gliders because surely, I mean, you would have worn a seatbelt in the glider, yeah?
I was just trying to remember. I'm pretty sure it was a full harness. Yep.
Yeah. I think that's, I don't know, that's what I'm guessing. Should we get the answers?
I'd love to get the answers.
Sam.
Sir George Cayley invented the glider, the first gliding airplane that could carry a human and also the seat belt. The seat belt was fitted in his first glider, which was in the 19th century but didn't catch on in automobiles until the mid-20th. In 1959, the Volvo engineer Nils Bohlen developed the modern three-point seat belt. Although the design was patented, the company decided the patent was to be left open, making it available to all vehicle manufacturers to use for free.
Wow, so there you go. Absolutely, that's a marriage made in heaven. Fantastic, good on him.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
It wasn't the flash ones that we have. It was probably just the basic one.
It was probably a bit of rope tied into a reef knot. You know, you're a scout. You know all your knots.
Years or months, and then just went. Someone went, what do you reckon, put a bit of rope to tie them down, maybe? Is it not a bad idea or, you know?
It's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, but you would think, like we've said before, when you invent something, you name it after yourself. You should have named it like a, you know, name it after. We've talked about this before. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But then again, you don't want a disease named after you. You don't want to, like Lou Gehrig, the Lou Gehrig. You don't want the Glenn Robbins disease, do you?
Yeah, isn't it, what's
you
that joke? What I mean? What's the joke where the guy goes to the doctor, he goes, I've got the test results back.
Oh, yes.
Good news and bad news. Bad news, yes. You're going to die. Good news is you're going to have a disease named after you. That is a good joke.
I love it. Bang, bang.